Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine.
Thank you, Macca. Macca, we started talking with John Pizzuto about the Palace Letters, the so-called Palace Letters. We now have on the line the person that made the Palace Letters possible, Professor Jenny Hocking. Jenny is an award-winning biographer, a political scientist, and a biographer of Whitlam. Good morning to you, Jenny.
Good morning.
Great to have you on the airwaves this morning. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking time out on your Saturday morning.
And I just want to say two words, Jenny. Thank you. Thank you for staying the course. Thank you for making these see the light of day. I remember the sacking as if it was yesterday. So thank you.
Oh, look, thank you very much for that. And I must say, what a wonderful legal team we had. Obviously, getting all the way to the High Court was quite extraordinary. And without our legal team, which included Tom Brennan and Anthony Whitlam QC and Brett Walker SC and the instructor by Court Chambers Westgarth, I must thank them all because they worked on a pro bono basis. And if it wasn't for them, you know, continuing all the way to the High Court and giving me such careful legal advice along the way, it couldn't have happened. So it's been a real team effort and so many people supporting it along the way. But what a wonderful thing that now
they're there
for history. We can see them. We overcame the Queen's embargo, which is in itself quite remarkable.
Yes, it's extraordinary. Now, Mac has already read the whole series of letters.
twice.
But I'm interested.
And all the attachments, I hope, Macca.
Pretty much.
Oh, dear.
Pretty much.
So, Jenny, I'm interested, from your point of view, what have we learnt that we didn't know? What's new? What's the new bit of evidence that you've got?
Look, the letters are just extraordinary. I can't begin to explain how exciting it was to see them because they are such important historical documents at that really critical time in our history leading up to the removal by the Governor-General of an elected government. Never been done before, and one hopes never again. It shows us, as we long suspected but had no clear indication of, just the extent to which the Governor-General, Sir John Kerr, and the Queen, through her private secretary, Sir Martin Charters, discussed options, discussed the possibility of removal of the government, discussed the possibility of the use of the reserve powers in those months leading up to the dismissal. There are hundreds of letters. Ordinarily, a Governor-General is reporting back to the palace maybe four times a year.
Mm.
So clearly, both the number of letters, but the content of the letters is quite explosive because the Queen has always denied, and indeed you will have seen the palace issued a very rare public statement soon after the release of these letters. I thought, do they have no sense of the irony of this, that they issue a statement telling us how we are to read those letters, as saying the Queen had no part in the decision made by Sir John Kerr. Now, clearly the Queen had an absolute part in that decision because all of the letters they were writing to Kerr in the months up to the dismissal, including pointing him to particular experts to read on the use of the reserve powers, had a very big role in the decision which he then took only days later.
I mean, you know, their assertion that the Queen didn't know is like saying the Queen doesn't wear a crown. I mean,
well,
she knew.
Yes, it is frankly quite odd, I have to say, in the context of what these letters show us, absolutely.
So you're quite convinced then, Jenny, that she did know?
Look, what I would be prepared to say from what the letters have told us, but you've got to remember I've seen a vast number of documents in Kerr's papers that relate to these before we got to the letters themselves. And what I would say is that there's absolutely no question that the Queen knew, and in fact, you know, gave very clear advice on the possibility of the dismissal of the Whitlam government. And that's been the aspect that's been long denied. There was never any discussion. We knew absolutely nothing even about, you know, Kerr's thinking. They not only knew of that possibility, they contributed to the to all of the documentation, all of the considerations that went to Kerr making that decision. So that much is very clear from the letters. And we have to remember that in a constitutional monarchy, as the head of a constitutional monarchy, it is the absolute definitional aspect of the Queen's role that she is politically neutral, that she must remain above any consideration of political matters at all times. And these letters give the absolute lie to that.
Yeah.
So I think there are a number of things here that are very disturbing in terms of the ongoing role of the monarch in an independent nation such as Australia.
Well, we definitely want to explore that with you. But I was just going to say, Jenny, that before we came on air this morning, Macra and I were, you know, in preparation talking about this very issue. And it's 101 that anybody who works in an environment where they have somebody who is at a superior level to themselves, that they will manage up. And this is the sort of thing. I mean, this is dismissing a government is not a light thing. It is a really significant thing. It is hard to imagine that the GG did not actually arrange for a message to get to the Queen, who's his boss.
Well, beyond that, Sir Martin Chowder, the Queen's private secretary, in what I think are the two critical letters, which are only days before the dismissal, I think the dates are the 4th and 5th of November 1975, actually points Kerr to a particular use of the reserve powers.
Yes.
And makes the point, which is extraordinary language, that if Kerr is concerned about the impact of any decision he might make on the monarchy, that he need not be concerned, and he says it can only do the monarchy good. It's an extraordinary exchange, and it follows the pointing of Kerr to a particular author, Eugene Forsey, who was a Canadian senator, who was a strong proponent of the use of the reserve power. So it's very clear that the possibility of dismissal came as no surprise from them, and that Kerr felt reassured by all of these comments that the palace would not be unhappy if he did move to dismiss the government as he then did. And as you say, it was essential for Kerr that he knew that.
Yes.
Because he could no more remove a government as the Queen's representative and risk having the Queen come out immediately and say, we are horrified, the government retains its majority in the House of Representatives, as it did, and it must be reinstated, as the House had in fact passed a motion calling for its reinstatement that afternoon.
Jenny, I can really hear the passion in your voice and the excitement with which it's almost like a kid in a lolly store, you know. You've discovered something that you were always wanting to get your hands on. Now, what does this mean for us as a nation, and what does this mean for our Republic movement?
Look, I think it has very strong implications for the Republic. I should say that I'm on the National Committee of the Australian Republic Movement. Very proud to do that. And I have felt for a long time that as an independent nation, surely we ought to have our own head of state. The fact is that we have an automatic head of state that we have no say in, no control over, who is also head of state of numerous other countries. So this is an odd circumstance. But look, let's have a look at who embargoed the letters. These letters,
yes,
which have proved to be, as we're all discussing now so feverishly, are such important historical records, and yet they are under the embargo of the Queen. Now, what an extraordinary and, frankly, humiliating situation that letters in our own national archives could not be accessed by the Australian people. I found that appalling, and as a historian, as well as, of course, as an Australian, felt that this was just not right. And it was really out of that concern that, following discussions with Tom Brennan in particular, the barrister that worked with the case from the beginning, decided that if there was any chance of taking a case to overturn this, we would. So, yes, it is a wonderful thing that we can now look forward, hopefully, to some independence in our relations, and that's why I am a great supporter of a republic.
One thing that comes out in this very clearly is that Kerr, months and months before, was of the view that this is what he was going to do. This was a live,
yes,
this was a live,
yes,
option.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't tell the palace all the advice he'd received, as we know, and I'll give you an interesting little anecdote. And I know this to be a fact, that some years after, when I actually had a discussion with Gough Whitlam, and it was at his unit in Sydney, and Margaret Whitlam was there, and I mentioned something about Kerr, and Margaret said, "I warned you about him, and you didn't, and you didn't listen." And he said something, and she said, "You went and ate a steak." and Gough said, "Well, you know, this is what happened." And then she, Margaret, as she walked off, she said, "I warned you." And Gough,
she did.
You know, that I don't think that if Whitlam had known what Kerr was up to, he would have withdrawn his commission. He would have asked the and she would have had to have.
Look, if any Prime Minister had found out that the Governor-General was in secret discussing the potential use of the powers to remove him from office for months in advance, including, as we now know, with one of the sitting High Court Justices, Sir Anthony Mason, and that I only revealed that in the biography of Gough Whitlam I wrote, and it had been kept secret for 37 years, I found that documentation in Kerr's papers.
Yes.
Now, and Mason was only one of several people that Kerr was secretly canvassing that option. Well, I mean, any Prime Minister, of course, would have had to remove him from office. And I think the critical question there is, Macca, that Sir John Kerr was obviously unable to operate as a Governor-General. He could not do that job. His job is to, like it or not, his job is to act on the advice
of his minister.
Of his minister. And you mentioned previously that Kerr was receiving advice from many. The one thing that is glaringly absent in these letters is where is the mention of either the requirement that the Governor-General must speak to the Prime Minister, must get the advice of the Prime Minister, together with the fact that he had already received advice from the Attorney-General and the Solicitor-General, that is the law officers, saying that the reserve powers could not be used in this instance. And this is the sole thing that ought to have mattered to Kerr. What is my government advising me? And it's quite shockingly absent from the communications between Kerr and the palace.
It is. Look, we're going to have to go, Jenny. I just want to say again, thank you.
And congratulations, Jenny. What an achievement.
I think thank you, Macca and Taz.
I think you should get an Order of Australia for this. Or perhaps a you know, a lady. Oh, no, we can't do that anymore, can't we?
It's a dame, Macca. It's a dame.
A dame. Perhaps the Queen might make you a dame.
I'm not sure I'm the most popular person in the palace right now, although they've got a fair few problems out there, I think.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty popular in Australia at the moment, Jenny. I mean, you've sort of almost risen out of the ashes. Congratulations again. Congratulations
again. Thank you again for having me. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.